Thank you, Brother Stephen. Open your Bibles today, please, to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Today is the 15th anniversary of one of the most horrific events to ever happen in our country. The attack on our country was, in my lifetime, as far as was like none other. And I remember where I was, and I know perhaps you do too. I was a drywall hanger and a contractor, and I was actually doing a restaurant up in, I believe it was Bloomfield Hills area, and had come into the job that day, and we were working, of course, as you, if you listen to the radio at all in the morning, a lot of times they'll play, a lot of the radio stations will play jokes on different people, and they'll call, and they'll, you know, prank call and all that kind of stuff. And I remember when I was listening, I started listening to the radio. One of the guys had the radio on, and the foreman did, actually, that was running the site. And I thought to myself that day, I thought, that's a horrific way to prank someone. And I thought it was a prank. I thought it was an awful joke being played, only to realize it wasn't a joke. It was actually happening. The foreman then goes out, and he has a little TV, and he brings the TV in, and we were all watching in horror as the first plane hit the building. And I remember that like it was yesterday, 15 years ago. You know, there's a lot going on today in our country, isn't there? There's a lot of anti-patriotism acts that are happening. I watched Colin Kaepernick, the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, is in a very disrespectful way kneel as the national anthem was being sung and played. I would say to Colin Kaepernick this morning, you say, Pastor, yeah, but he has a right. Well, yeah, he has a right to do that. But I think it's a very distasteful way of doing it. And the thought that comes to my mind today, the flag isn't about you, Colin Kaepernick. The flag's about us as a nation. And many thousands, and you got to get a hold of this, thousands of young people, please hear my heart today. Thousands of men and women have died to keep us free. That flag is not about you, Colin Kaepernick. That flag is about us, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. As my heart is thinking about it, and I'll be honest, I changed my sermon. We were in the book of Mark and had all anticipation of being there today. And I even told Leslie in the last couple of days, I said, I'm truly thinking about preaching on 9/11 and just kind of preaching that direction. Never really even talked to Brother Stephen about it. And I was thankful that he took the service in the way that he did and actually changed it this morning. My sermon I changed this morning. And I just want to share some things with you today. And, you know, I remember that day, don't you? I mean, some of our teens maybe weren't even alive back then, but I remember that day like it was yesterday. I remember coming home, and we were in revival where I was pastoring before. Brother Andy Daugherty was up here, and Brother Cliff Crispin was up here. And I remember that revival, but I remember coming home and thinking to myself, there's a lot of people that left home this morning, no doubt kissed their wives, kissed their kids goodbye, had no idea that would be the last time they would hug them or kiss them. Many of them died that day. An act of terror. Our land, and it was true, and it was said back then that America would never be the same today. It would never be the same again. And to be quite honest, I don't know that it ever has been. We live in a land that a lot of people hate us. Muslim religious extremists. They hate our country. If they had their way, they would wipe us from the face of the planet. You say, yeah, but preacher, you don't want to be stereotypical. I'm not being stereotypical. Muslim religious extremists hate anyone that isn't a Muslim. It's ironic to me that for those in our country that are really buying into the nonsense of social media and the nonsense of liberal media and liberal news, they're trying to tell you that, well, we need to be all-inclusive and we need to let everyone in and all this kind of nonsense. Listen, friend, there are people that hate us. And we better get smart about this situation. When you come to the Word of God, there's a verse of Scripture that I'm going to use as my title. I want you to stay in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But there's a verse in the book of Psalms. It's actually Psalms 56 verse 3, I believe it is. Psalms 56 verse 3, yes. And that verse right there, that's actually a Bible verse. And I'm going to use that as my title this morning. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Of course, David had written those verses, and it was a time when he was no doubt facing a lot of adversity and facing a lot of challenges as a leader of a great nation, the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was not foreign to adversity. They were not foreign to attack. They were not foreign to war. It wasn't foreign to them. They knew that there was a lot that hated them. And yet, but what they also knew is even though there was a lot of people that hated them, there was also a great God that loved them unconditionally, and there was a great God that would watch over them. And just as the psalmist David cries, "What time I afraid, I will trust in thee." And just as he cries those words, we come now to a story in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I want us to begin today in verse 1. So please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. You find, as far as in the context, there's 30 verses that we actually will talk about today, and we'll see how far we get in this. I hope to complete this, but in light in the backdrop of 9/11, in light in the backdrop of what's going on in our country, I will say this, and I mean this, and I hope you hear this, and if you're watching the internet, I hope this resonates in your heart. United States of America is still the greatest nation on earth. We live in the land of the free. The fact, you say, preacher, well, there's a lot. No, hear me tonight. Hear me today. You're here in this building today, and you're here to worship your Lord as you feel fit. And are you aware that that did not come by accident? Religious freedom is a joy. Religious freedom, it isn't that way today in a lot of other parts of the world. We have a lot to be thankful for. The nation of Israel has now faced an attack of mass proportion. In verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Jehoshaphat, of course, being the leader of Israel. And so these enemy nations, they come together, they're united for one reason, and that is to try to destroy God's people and the nation of Israel. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria, and behold, they be Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. One of the things that was remarkable back then, I'll be honest, 15 years ago when 9/11 happened and the terrorist attacks happened and the two planes flew in the Twin Towers and the plane that crashed in the field. And, you know, one of the things that happened is America came together as one body. You didn't hear people throwing a fit about the right to pray. You didn't hear people throwing a fit about calling people to prayer and seeking God's face. There was churches that opened their doors on a 24-hour basis to let people come in to pray. And the Bible tells us when these enemy nations come up against Israel, Jehoshaphat calls for a fast, and he calls for God's people to come before the Lord. And Jehoshaphat, verse 5, stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive us out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, when thou hear, then thou wilt hear and help. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. We thank you, Father, to live in America. What a joy, God, we have to be part of the greatest nation on earth. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll bless. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will speak, that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher, that he'll be our guide. And Father, we pray, God, that we will listen intently. We will listen, Lord, with open heart, and we will listen to hear for what you speak today. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Fear has a way of getting a hold of us, doesn't it? Fear has a way of rocking us to the core, to the very foundations of our life. I'm thankful, though, that we have a God that is immovable. I'm thankful that we have a God in Jesus Christ that cares about us. You see, one of the things that people were asking, and maybe you heard 15 years ago if you were around then, the people were saying, if there is a God, why did God allow that to happen? Well, first of all, I do not ever want to sound like I know exactly sometimes what God has to do and why God does what he does. But nonetheless, here's what I will say in speaking to that kind of thought process is the 9/11 terrorist attack did not come as a surprise to God. God knew that was going to happen. And yet often in the midst of adversity and in the midst of such, you know, woe and such calamity and such horrific event, and in the midst of all of that, it is in times like that that God often can shine brighter and further and greater than any other time. Why is it that in our lives, why is it that it often takes tragedy to get us to really focus on who Jesus is? The God that is the God of the mountain. I'm grateful to God, friend, that he is a God when we're on the mountaintop, but I'm thankful to God that he is a God when we're in the lowest valley that we could ever be in. America was under attack, and it needed an answer from God. There were many asking, pastors and preachers throughout the land, is there a word from God in the midst of such horrific attack? I'm here to tell you today, 15 years ago there was a word from God, and 15 years later there still is a word from God, and his word is this: what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. But Stephen quoted 2 Chronicles 7:14, which said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face, pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Jesus said, I will hear their prayer. I'm going to misquote that verse 1,000 times. Go to 2 Chronicles. I don't want to misquote this because it's a tremendous verse. You're in 1 Chronicles. Go to 2 Chronicles. You're in 2 Chronicles. Go to chapter 7. Excuse me. I'll get it here straight here in a minute. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Brother Stephen quoted it. I want to read it to you. Second Chronicles 7, 14, chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's a tremendous promise of God. That's a tremendous promise of the Lord. You come back now to our text of chapter 20. We notice in the first four verses a horrific attack. It's a horrific attack. It's an attack on the people of God. It's an attack on the nation of Israel. And Jehoshaphat, the great leader that he was, he's scared. He's fearful. Enemies are coming from all sides and all directions. It is a battle, as you will see in a moment. It is a battle that unless God intervenes, they're going under. You know, I'm grateful today to know, though, that even in the midst of, you say, Pastor, it seems like we're in a time of uncertainty. You're right. It seems like we're in a time of, you know, we don't know from one day to the next what other country is going to be mad at us. And, you know, and all the attacks and all the shootings and all this kind of nonsense that's going on in our culture. Well, friend, you have to understand there is an enemy, and he hates anything that has to do with Jesus. He hates, and I will say this, America, and I know our liberal culture doesn't want to believe this, they can try their best to rewrite history, but on the authority of our founding documents as a nation, as a young nation, we were birthed with the idea of seeking God, not gold. Our forefathers and pilgrims came to this world seeking religious freedom, and they came seeking God, and the Lord Jesus Christ birthed a nation, this great nation in which we live. Is it a perfect nation? No, it isn't a perfect nation. And the reason it isn't a perfect nation is because men are sinners. And as long as men are sinners, there will be problems in any country. As long as men are sinners, let's narrow it down even more. As long as men are sinners, there'll be problems not only in any country, there'll be problems in any family. As long as men are sinners, there'll be problems not only in any family, there'll be problems in marriages. As long as men are sinners, there'll be problems. Sin does not come as a surprise to God, nor should it come as a surprise to us today. We live in a country that indeed is trying to live out the biblical premise of those that call evil good and good evil. But may I remind you, there is a God, his name is Jesus, and he still is on the throne in glory. And he makes a promise to his people. You know, I know sometimes if we're not careful, we can have the attitude that, oh, our hope lies in this party or that party or this or that. Listen, friend, our hope, and I pray to God you hear my heart this morning, our hope, if you know Christ your Savior, our hope better lie in Jesus Christ the Lord. You see it illustrated perfectly in this text. Would the battle be won by such a monumental and powerful army as the nation of Israel had? Would the battle be won with strategic placement? Would the battle be won with elite intelligence? Would the battle be won by doing reconnaissance mission on the enemy? No, friend. The battle would be won when God's people seek God, seek his face, pray and praise him. You're going to find the battle is going to be won. So let's just kind of continue through these verses here. So you see the horrific attack, verses 1 through 4, but notice secondly, a humble prayer. Notice the humble prayer, verse 5 through 21. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem. We've already read it, but I want to emphasize it again. In the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, he's now going to pray. He's praying to God, but you got to picture this in your mind. This great leader, he's fearful. I think if you were to say it in today's language, he's scared to death. He's scared to death. He's scared. So what is he going to do? Is he going to run? Is he going to tuck tail and run? Or is he going to face it? But what you got to understand, Jehoshaphat and the people of Israel, they're going to face the enemy. But here's the blessing of God. They're going to face the enemy, but I promise you on the authority of Scripture, they will not face the enemy alone. They're going to face the enemy with the power of God on them. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do, he's going to take a mandated war and make it a miracle war before it's over with. So Jehoshaphat says, Lord God of our fathers, in verse 6, art thou not God in heaven? You see, this humble prayer, there's three thoughts that we see about this humble prayer. Letter A, it's a prayer of truth. It's a prayer of truth. He said that in verse 6. Oh, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Jehovah God is who he's praying for. It's a prayer of truth as you continue in verse 6. And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen. And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? You see, what Jehoshaphat is doing, Brother Stephen, I was talking about this a little bit yesterday. What Jehoshaphat is doing is he is humbly acknowledging the sovereignty of Almighty God. He is humbly acknowledging that there is one king who rules and reigns over all of the earth, and that is God himself. Jehoshaphat, he's fearful. But what is he going to do? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. When things rattle us to our core, Jehoshaphat illustrates, I will trust in thee, Lord. It's a prayer of truth. It's a prayer of testimony. Look at verse 7 and 8. Art not thou our God? He's now going to testify a little bit. You see, every now and then, it's good to testify, amen? Every now and then, it's good to testify about what God has done in your life. When you face fear, when you face uncertainty, when you face, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, at best, our lives are lives of uncertainty as far as in this world. James spoke into that. James talked about how there were those in James's day who would run about and say, oh, tomorrow we're going to go into the market and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to buy, and we're going to sell, we're going to do all this kind of stuff. And James speaks into it, and he says, listen, you know not what a day may bring forth. He said, what is our life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and vanisheth away. The brevity of life. It's a prayer of testimony. Jehoshaphat now, before the people, reminds them of what God had done in their past. Art thou, verse 7, art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? May I just make a statement? Here we are. This was thousands of years ago. This portion was written. But may I make a statement today, 2016, September 11, 2016. The land of Israel, the nation of Israel, and that land over in that part of the world is Israel's. It is not Palestine. It's not the Palestinians' land. It's Israel's land. You say, preacher, yeah, but no, friend. It's Israel's land that God gave to his people. Amen? So Jehoshaphat is giving a testimony. One thing I love about this, though, he's doing it in the midst of his fearfulness. He's doing it in the midst. Look at it now, verse 5. Verse 3 tells us, and Jehoshaphat feared. He's scared to death. There's enemies coming from all directions. There's enemies coming, no doubt, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. They're all around him, and he is fearful. But one thing that we learn about, even in the midst of his fear, he's still going to praise his Lord. He's going to praise his God. He may not understand how God's going to deliver, but he believes God's going to deliver, even in the midst of his fear. You know, one of the things, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves in the middle of is being very fearful, and it robs us of our testimony. It robs us of the truth of God's word. It robs us of our praise, and it robs us of our acknowledgement that he is God and there is none other. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you do not know Christ, your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity before this service is over to trust him and get born again like many of us in this room are. Verse 8, continued prayer of testimony, says, and they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, this is Jehoshaphat, he's speaking, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Underline that. Then thou wilt hear and help. In the midst of persecution, in the midst of judgment, in the midst of famine, in the midst of pestilence, in the midst of sword, war, in the midst of all this, Lord Jesus, if we stand before this house and we cry out to you, you'll not only hear us, you'll help us. Aren't you grateful that you have a God in Jesus that will not only hear you, he'll help you? Somebody tell me today, aren't you grateful for that? Amen. Can we get a witness in this room this morning? Amen. He's a great God, friend. It's a prayer of testimony. It's a prayer of trust. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we. I love this. I'm grateful to God. You're talking about being a good leader. Look at this, Brother Stephen. This is tremendous. I love this next statement. Look at this. This is Jehoshaphat. He's leading the nation of Israel. But notice what he says to the Lord. And by the way, this takes a secure leader to acknowledge this in front of the whole congregation of Israel. Notice what he says. Verse 12, last sentence. Neither know we what to do. Wow. You know, it's one of the greatest prayers you can pray to Jesus. I'm really of the deep conviction about this. One of the greatest prayers you could pray to the Lord when you humble yourself before him is just simply sometimes just crying out and say something like this. Lord Jesus, I don't have a clue of what to do here. You see, sometimes we can get so prideful, if we're not careful, we can get so prideful and we can get so self-confident that we reason away our need and our dependence to be on Jesus to take the next breath in our lives. And Jehoshaphat just simply says, God, we can't defeat this enemy. And God, if the truth be known, we don't know what to do. There's many times in my ministry I've said that to the Lord. I remember when I pastored my first church and was going into a very difficult situation. We were going into a meeting, and a men's meeting. I remember driving in my car, headed to church, and I told the Lord, I said, God, I don't have a clue on what to do. I also don't know what to do about this, Lord. There's been times here at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist as your pastor that I've said, Lord, I don't know what to do here. You said, preacher, yeah, but as a pastor, you're supposed to know these things. Well, one thing that you may not know about me is there's many times that, I mean this, there's many times that I don't make a decision, not because I don't want to make a decision. I don't make a decision because I don't have peace and I haven't heard from God yet about what to do. But I promise you, when situations happen, and when I do hear from God, by God's grace, when I do hear from him and hear a clear answer and a clear direction, I promise you, we do things. We seek the Lord, and we honestly do, and we want God's direction, and we want God's will for this church. It's a prayer of trust. He said, neither know we what to do. But look at verse 12. Prayer of trust. But our eyes are upon thee. Underline that. Our eyes are upon thee. One of the sad things that can happen when you're in the middle of a fearful situation? You get focused on the things that's causing the fear. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you know what I'm talking about, raise your hand. All right, that's about half of you. Let me articulate a little better. What can happen sometimes is our eyes, press in, our eyes can get focused in the middle of our fear. Our eyes can get focused on our circumstances around us as opposed to being focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest statements Jehoshaphat makes in this passage of Scripture, he says, God, I don't have a clue. God, we have no idea what to do. But God, one thing we will do, even right now we may not know what to do. We're going to keep our eyes on you, Lord. What a tremendous statement. Does that bless anybody's heart this morning? Does that not bless your soul this morning to know that even in the midst of fearful situations, our eyes, listen friend, our eyes better be on the Lord Jesus Christ. What a tremendous illustration from the Old Testament. It reminds me in the book of Joshua, when Joshua was getting ready to take the nation of Israel across the Jordan, through the Jordan River, into the Promised Land. You remember the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant was going to be out in front of the nation of Israel. And those priests are going to carry that Ark of the Covenant. And as soon as their foot goes down into the water, God's going to part the water. But that Ark of the Covenant that's outside in front of them, what's the significance of that? What God was telling the nation of Israel, you keep your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was absolutely symbolic of the presence of God being in their midst. And Jesus said, when the Ark of God moves, you move. You keep your eyes on my presence. When I move, you move. That is a tremendous lesson for a child of God. You only move when Jesus moves. Can I get a witness in this room? You keep your eyes on Jesus. What time I am afraid, David cries. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Wow. What a tremendous statement. Look now at the picture. And all Judah, verse 13. This is a rich text. And all Judah stood before the Lord, but let's narrow it down. Let's make it even more personal. Are you looking at verse 13? If you're looking, say, I'm looking, preacher. Please look at this, because this may help somebody this morning. And all Judah stood before the Lord. There they stand. Emotionally, they're scared to death. We know they're scared because their leader's scared. It's fair to say that if the leader gets scared, the people are even more scared. And all Judah stood before the Lord, verse 13, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Boy, what an image. They got enemies all around. To say this is, humanly speaking, it's a hopeless situation, humanly speaking, that's a fair assessment. To say that it's a helpless feeling, humanly speaking, oh yeah. They're standing before the house of the Lord, and there they stand. But the Bible tells us, and I'm so thankful for the Lord, because God makes it even more personal. There they stand with their little ones, their wives, and their children. So you know who's standing there? Husbands are standing there. If Jehoshaphat doesn't know what to do, but Stephen, there's a lot of husbands there that day they don't know what to do. Brother Andrew, they got their babies in their arms. And they're standing before the Lord. Their wives are there. So there's a lot of wives there that day. They don't know what to do. The Bible says their children are there. There's a bunch of little kids there. No doubt they're looking at mom and dad, and mom and dad are scared. The little kids are scared. Mom and dad are looking to Jehoshaphat. He's shaking in his sandals. And there they stand, but they're standing before, which is a tremendous statement here. They're standing before the Lord. Quit rocking. Stop. They're standing before the Lord. There they stand. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Are you scared this morning? Stand before his presence. Are you scared this morning? Keep your eyes on him. Are you scared this morning? You better stay close and clean before the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we have enemies all around. Boy, what a tremendous, if that doesn't describe our nation right now. I don't know what verse does describe our nation. We know it's talking about Israel. But ladies and gentlemen, from North Korea to Iran to you fill in the blank, you put in the country. There's a lot of countries today that hate this our country, and they want to do nothing. They want to see nothing more than see us wiped from the face of the planet. Well, time, I'm afraid. I will trust in thee. It's a prayer of trust. This humble prayer, it's a prayer of truth, it's a prayer of testimony, it's a prayer of trust. But I want you to notice, last of all, a heaven-sent intervention. A heaven-sent intervention. We're going to read a few verses, but we're going to kind of trek through this. Verse 14 says, then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the sons of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Look at this, for the battle, underline this last phrase, for the battle is not yours but God's. The battle is not yours but God's. It's not in our power. It's not in our might. It's not in our power that we're going to win any battle. It's going to be in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look to him, what a tremendous word. When we keep our eyes on him, we stand before his presence. We focus our heart on the Lord Jesus and his will for our lives. You can mark it down that the Lord Jesus Christ will fight the battle for you. What's your battle? What are you battling today? Is it an emotional battle? Financial battle? Is it a battle in your home? Is it a battle in your marriage? Is it a battle with your children? Say, preacher, what do I do? You just stay before the Lord. You keep your face before the Lord. You keep your eyes on the Lord. You keep your heart seeking God. You keep trusting him. You say, preacher, yeah, but I'm still fearful. That may be true. But as David says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Lord, my trust is going in you. There may be times in my life, just as Jehoshaphat, just as those husbands, just as those wives, those precious little children, those precious babies, those families, that leader, they didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know what was going to. One thing they did know is, unless God intervened, they were going under. But one thing I love about my Lord, it's in the times of desperation, and he shows up often and shows out like crazy. It's in the times of our desperation that he will show up often, and he'll show out like crazy. The Bible says, tomorrow go ye down against them, verse 16. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Whoa, what? What? Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still. Look at this. And see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Underline that statement. For the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. What a tremendous thing. Listen, friend. If you can't worship in the midst of your fear, if you can't worship in the midst of your trial, there's something wrong in your life. We can praise him on the mountaintop. And I've seen believer after believer after believer praise him on the mountaintop. Will you praise him in the battle? Will you praise him in the valley? Will you praise him in fearful times? Will you praise him? You see, they got reminded time and time again, just stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. You just keep your eyes on Jesus. Press in. The battle's the Lord's. You're not going to have to fire a shot. Jesus has got this. What a tremendous word from the Lord Jesus this morning. Jehoshaphat. One thing I love about this old boy, man, you see him constantly before the Lord. You see him with bowed head, his face, verse 18. Verse 19 says, and the Levites are the children of the Kohathites, and of the children of the Korahites, boy, there's a lot of ites in there, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And by the way, that makes no sense to a lost and dying world. It makes no sense to a lost and dying world when God's people praise Jesus in the midst of a trial. It makes no sense to them. It absolutely makes no sense. But ladies and gentlemen, If you know Jesus, as many know Jesus, our Lord makes no mistakes in our life. Jacob and Riley, our Lord makes no mistakes. And I say that with a heavy heart for you kids today, losing their dad in death, 49 years old. But we know that the Lord Jesus, he makes no mistakes. Verse 20 says, and they rose early in the morning. This is a day of battle, but this day of battle was also a day of worship. And went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Does anybody else like me, do you not see some kind of humor in this? They're going to war. They're going to war, and yet their leader is saying, hey, I need some singers. We're going to have a service. You know, when we were attacked, one thing I do appreciate about President Bush at the time, and you can love him or hate him, but one thing I appreciated about him when he was our president back then and we got attacked, he stood at that night and he sat there and he gave that speech. One thing that he did, and I know it didn't make sense to a lot of people, but one thing he did, he called on our nation to pray to God, to seek God's face. You say, preacher, that makes no sense. It makes all the sense in the world if you know Jesus as your Savior. It makes no sense, Jehoshaphat. Oh, yeah, it does. Because if you don't remember what I just told you, that the Lord Jesus was with us back way back in verse 7, 8, 9. Lord Jesus is with us. We're going to have a worship service. I don't know about you, but isn't that humorous? You've got enemies all around you, and all of a sudden Jehoshaphat says, strike up the band. We're going to have a worship service this morning. The Lord Jesus, he's still a great God in the midst of our valley. He's a great God on the top of our mountain. He's a great God in the midst of a storm. He's a great God in the midst of a trial. He is worthy to be worshiped. He makes no mistakes. And nothing can come into our life as a believer that doesn't pass through the hands of the sovereign God of our lives. He's a wonderful Savior, a heaven-sent intervention. In verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, look at that again. He appointed singers unto the Lord. I like that. I like that, Brother Stephen. Singers unto the Lord. Isn't that a good statement? Singers unto the Lord. They're not there to say, look at us. They're singing unto the Lord Jesus. And that's what singing ought to be about. Can I get a witness in this room? This is awesome. Verse 21, and that should praise the beauty of his holiness. Brother Bill, you were in the military for a long time, weren't you? 23 years, retired lieutenant colonel. It's fair to say that if we were getting to get ready to go into battle, I don't know too many generals or colonels that would say, okay, boys, we're going to have a song service this morning. And we're going to praise the beauty of the Lord Jesus. We're going to fight the Taliban. Well, you see, Jehoshaphat understood something. Here's what Jehoshaphat understood. Jehoshaphat understood that there was a much mightier general in the land. There was a much mightier king in the land. It was the Lord Jesus. Jehovah God, and not to keep stopping in this, I know I need to finish, but it's just tremendous to me. Verse 21 says, as they went out before the army, had to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Look at verse 22. I love this. This is great, man. Look at this. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, when they began to sing and to praise, comma, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. They were defeated. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. When Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked upon the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth and none escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches and the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. As you keep going down, verse 30. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. Underline this next statement. For his God gave him rest round about. His God gave them rest round about. You say, preacher, you have no idea what kind of a trial and what kind of a war I'm in right now, preacher. What should I do? I'll tell you what you should do on the authority of Scripture. Just simply praise the name of Jesus. Praise his name. Honor him. Keep your eyes on him. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. He's a remarkable God. He's a God that does extraordinary things in the life and also in the eyes of his people. It's almost as if God said to them, you just keep an eye on me. You just praise me, strike up the band, Jehoshaphat. Get some singers that are going to sing to me, not about them. Get some singers that are going to sing and worship me. Strike up the band. And oh, by the way, just you keep praising, but keep watching what I'm going to do in your life. All God's required of us, all God wants of his children, is 100% total dependence. That's it. 100% total dependence on him. That's what God wants. I ask you today, number one, are you saved? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Meaning, has there been a moment in your life that you repented of being a sinner before God and you asked God to save you, believing in his death, burial, and resurrection? If you've never done that, I encourage you to do that today. Maybe you are saved. Say, preacher, I am saved, but I'll be honest, the trial has overwhelmed me. The enemies, I'm focused on the enemy as opposed to focusing on the Lord. And man, I need to repent of that. Yes, maybe you do. You need to repent of that and get your heart and your mind and your eyes on the Lord Jesus. We give you an opportunity to stand, please. Brother Stephen's going to come. He's going to lead us in a verse or so of invitational hymn. If God has spoken to your heart and you need to respond, we want you to do that. I sincerely mean that. We want you to do that. You see in that passage of Scripture when one of the fellows went into the camp and he was speaking for the Lord, you know, they then responded. They then reacted to what they were challenged to do. Maybe the Lord Jesus has spoken to your heart today through the preaching of his word, through the singing. Maybe God's spoken to your heart. And friend, what do you need to do now? You need to respond. What's the number, Stephen?
284.